Thank you.
All right, I'll be calling the Fulner Wood case next. If the parties would please come up to the bar. Case number 1 on the calendar, cause number 07-3-01713-1. Mr. Fulner, as I indicated, I have reviewed your materials, and I've set the timer for 10 minutes, and if you wish to reserve any of this time for rebuttal, keep an eye on the clock, and whatever time's left, you can use for rebuttal. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I brought this about on behalf of my daughter. The relationship with her mother's gotten very toxic, and she called me up one night and said, my mom kicked me out. And I talked to her for a while about it, and I said, well, are you gonna stay there tonight? She goes, yeah. I said, well, call me in the morning and let me know what's going on. So she called me and said, we've worked it out. I'm gonna start paying rent, and I'm gonna keep living here in the bus with my mom. And then 2 days later, she calls me from the Chehalis Hospital and says, can you come pick me up? And her mother had brought her down, tricked her into going to the hospital, said she was going to a car show in Federal Way, and had her drug tested, which she didn't want, because she knew she'd been using some marijuana products that her mom had for pain, and she knew, you know, she thought she'd show positive. And she just lost all trust with her mom. And the police were called, and they told her to, you know, find somebody to come get her. So she called me eventually after being there 14 hours. I went and got her, and went down the next day to go get her stuff from her mom's, because she didn't want to be with her anymore. And she had taken her bus, her van, and her little Del Sol, and moved away and took her pets and everything, on basically left her a big stuffed animal she had. And she had numerous texts on her phone, do not contact me. So we went to the sheriff's office down there and gave them her phone number, and, you know, said we need to get her stuff, and they contacted her, and through some friend of hers, we went to the storage unit, and she had moved some of her stuff into a separate storage unit, and so we picked up all that, but there was a lot of stuff missing, and so, you know, I'm just trying to do what's best for her, and that's pretty much where we're at.
Ms. Whitten.
Your Honor, this is, as far as I can tell, a case, prima facie case of custodial interference. It's been a previous order that I am the custodial parent, the only custodial parent. Mother is designated custodian of the child, and the child shall reside with the mother at all times.
What order is that?
Pardon me, sir?
What order is that?
That is order granting motion for summary judgment at WPF for D.
What date?
Date is, I believe it's 2007. And that there is the father's residential time of the child shall be reserved for later determination upon application of one of the parents, which has not happened. Doing my research online, a relative of a minor child takes, detains, retains, or conceals a child with the intent to deny access to a person with legal custodial rights. Felony. I never moved. My landlord would still state. I've protected her pets and protected her things in storage and protected my vehicles from a girl who has been lying about using drugs, vaping, and who is now at her grandmother's house having vaping, multi-pheromonal things, and...
So how do you want to force your daughter to come back? Should she be handcuffed? Should she... I mean, what do you want?
I want my daughter to come home with me.
How do we force that? Do you want her to be arrested? Do you want her to be handcuffed? How do we force a 15-year-old to go with you? What's your solution?
I want her to come with me.
I understand that.
Okay.
So how do we do that? Again, do you want to use handcuffs? Do you want to use zip ties? How do you force a 15-year-old to go with you who doesn't want to?
The judge would uphold the...
So you, again, I'm going to tell your daughter what force is going to be used and that you want me to use that force. What do you want me to tell her?
Invisible tether to my daughter.
What invisible tether? How do I make a 15-year-old go with a parent she doesn't want to go with? Sir, you'll have your chance to talk.
She's 16.
16. How do I do it? Please tell me, because I'd like to know.
Okay. So I had her enrolling her when I found the text that she was using with girls on campus. I enrolled her in a youth at-risk program. They wanted us to go that very day. I go to the hospital. And
so you filed an at-risk youth
petition? I was in the process right when I got, and I was emailing, and in the process, they called me back to have us go do this intervention where she'd be riding horses and have a judgment.
What court were you filing this in?
In Thurston County.
Okay.
And she would have a judgment on house rules to follow. Now, my child is having these illegal items. The grandmother told me that she doesn't mind the marijuana use. My daughter's using marijuana at grandma's house, vaping, and having sex chocolates sent to the house through Amazon. The grandmother is supporting this. They're all enabling, and I apologize because the petitioner is developmentally disabled, and there are medical records to prove that. And number one, this is unlawful interference with custodial rights. The reason for this is daughter, she wants to take drugs and was recently tested at the hospital. The police officer came to me and said, "Do you hit your child?" I said, "No, I don't believe in corporal punishment." And this is after she was surprised that I found out her big lie. She's vindictive, and her father is joining in this process of their interference with my custodial rights. And they're having illegal substances. My daughter's vaping. She's got chronic health issues, lung issues, and she's fainted at work on the upstairs, and she has nearly passed out at school during exercise. She needs to be well cared for. I've been protecting and loving my daughter. When I found out, she was very upset that I knew the truth somehow. She tried to blame it on a previous video she made of pretending to snort cocaine with a girl 2 years younger than her. The father is not appropriate because he is developmentally disabled. Father encourages the drug use, and there's been an effort to interfere with custodial agreement that has been in place since she was born. He has made sexual advances on our daughter. Reported, we've been in therapy for all this.
I got to interrupt you and say,
yes, sir.
I can't consider any of this because I don't have it in any declaration.
Got it. And I only received four pages of this yesterday, and I didn't receive any other.
And that's why I asked you if you wanted a continuance.
I
declined my offer.
I appreciate you.
But anything else, ma'am?
Not at this time.
Sir, anything else?
My daughter's been in school doing her stuff. As far as I know from her mother that she was keeping her grades up, I approved with her having work besides going to school. When she was 15, she couldn't have her own bank account, so they had a joint account. And she asked her mom to put $200 of her paycheck into savings. And then the next week, she wanted to get it out and go buy something that she wanted. Her mother told her, "Oh, I had to use all that money for gas to take you around." And that was probably, you know, a big straw in her losing trust in her mother. My daughter and I talk all the time when we're together about every subject, about birth control, is she having sex, drug use, alcohol use, what it does. We have complete open lines of communication. She just doesn't trust her mom anymore. She's tired of being treated the way she is. She feels no trust for her. So she doesn't want to have anything to do with her.
All right, let's go back to the history of this case, because I think it's important for the parties to understand where we're at here. On December 24th, 2007, the court signed a summary judgment order that states the mother is to reside with the child. That is the last parenting action in this case. In July of 2008, the mother filed a petition to establish a parenting plan. A settlement conference was set for March 31st, 2009. From my read of the document of the court file, I don't think the settlement conference was ever held, but I can't tell for certain. But the last action in this case was in March of 2009. The parties then did nothing, as far as the court is concerned, until the father brought this motion in August of 2023. I'm a little surprised that the case hadn't been dismissed in all that time. Usually our clerk's office will dismiss a case if there's been no action. So, the father is asking me to do some things today. I cannot do those things. I have to deny his request. The mother does not have a motion in front of me, so I can't grant anything without the mother making a motion. I'll simply say, you folks have a summary judgment order from 2007 that states the child is to reside with the mother, period. The question is, though, she's 16. How do we get a 16-year-old to do it? Ma'am, you have not given me any solutions. I have no authority or power. The only thing that can be done is for you to file an at-risk youth petition. It sounds like you started it. You need to complete that. That will give you the services. That will give you some court action. And, sir, you'll be a part of that action as well. But I can't do anything. I can't force her. I can't grab her and handcuff her and take her someplace. She'll just continue to run and become a runaway in the streets if we try to force her. And so what's happened is for the last, 14 years, you two have done nothing to try to resolve this. You've let this explode, and now you're coming to me saying solve it for us because we failed to try to solve it. So I'm denying your request, sir, but ma'am, I don't know how I get your daughter back to you. You two need to do something you should have done 14 years ago, figure it out between the two of you. Now, file that at-risk youth petition because that will give you some help down there to do that. But as for today, I cannot grant this request. It is denied. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Case on Zoom, and we are in recess.
Do you want me to tell them to come in?
Please. We're back on the record of the Fulner Wood case 0730171-3-1. After the party stepped out in the hallway, I heard a lot of yelling and screaming coming down the hallway, and I've been told that there's been a lot of activity, including someone calling the police. Ms. Jellish is an attorney who is not part of it on this matter, and so is Ms. Williamson, and apparently they were out there and saw what happened. Ms. Jellish, can you give the court a brief description of what you saw?
Yes, Your Honor. I will provide kind of the first half of the incident. I believe Ms. Williamson has some additional information. But I was in courtroom or in room 210, and I heard elevated voices, raised voices. I turned and I looked, and I saw that the mother had a raised voice yelling at the child, had kind of encroached upon the child while she was sitting on the bench. She had indicated that the child was coming with her because she had full custody. Child indicated that she did not want to leave, then got up and stood up. Mother was blocking her way at the top of the stairs. They then walked downstairs. Security was called.
At that point, the mother was still blocking the child from being able to move out the exit. Child appeared to be telegraphing that she was going to be running or at least trying to get away from the mother. At that point, the father was threatened by the male individual with the mother, stating that there was custodial interference in the first degree, that he was going to have, apparently some type of charge for that. Father stepped back and did not participate in the conflict, merely watched. The child kept edging towards the door. Mom became very verbally aggressive, was standing in the child's space. Child then made a run, ran out the door, ran immediately out the front door, turned to the right. Father did indicate that she had his car keys on her, so he was concerned because she had keys to the car, but security did ask the father to stay back, so he did stay back there. By the time that I walked over towards where the child was, it appeared that the child had gotten into the driver's side, pulled the car up onto the sidewalk. Mother and...
Pulled the car up into the sidewalk?
Yes, Your Honor. The mother and the male individual who was with her were still there. There still appeared to be some heated conversation going on. However, I was not close enough to overhear anything that was happening. At that point, I walked back, spoke to the father, and then just kind of made sure that he was staying back from the incident. And at that point, law enforcement had already arrived, so POPD was on the scene. They were speaking with everybody. And then at that point, I came in to ask Ms. Loki if it would be possible for perhaps the parties to be able to supplement the record so that something could happen with this child who was indicating by all intents and purposes she did not want to leave with the mother.
Ms. Williams, anything else to that you'd like to add?
Well, I was with in the same vicinity as Ms. Yellish, so I witnessed all of those same things. Ms. Yellish and I had a discussion. She came by here to see if the court would recall the case. I stayed at the scene and asked the officers if I could speak to the child and let the officers know I was a guardian ad litem for children, so I thought maybe it could be helpful in speaking to the child. So I did have the opportunity to do that, and I sat with her while we were determining if you could recall the case and while they were talking to the mother. I will, at one point I asked the mother if she could not speak so loudly because the child was hearing everything the mother was reporting to the police, and that was upsetting to her. I'll tell the court the child seems genuinely afraid to go home. And I think it's, well, I won't give my opinion, but I'll just tell the court she seems genuinely afraid to go home. She did walk back to the courthouse with Ms. Yellish and I, and she is outside. And she did also indicate she had wished that she could have spoken to you herself, and we told her that's not, well, I told her that's not normally what happens, but she is very upset still.
Court has signed an order today that states the following. Pending further order of the court, the child shall reside with the father on a temporary basis. The child shall have visits with the mother at the child's discretion. The court shall review this on September 1st, 2023 at 1:30. So pending further order of the court, sir, the child will reside with you. If the child wishes to call or see her mother, you are to accommodate that. Ma'am, you are not to call or reach out to your child unless she reaches out to you. I will see you both back here. Ma'am, you want to file that at-risk youth petition as I told you to do, versus trying to cause a scene in the courthouse requiring law enforcement to come. You can do so, and I will hear the status on September 1st. Will you please make copies for these folks, get them copies here, and Officer Mann, if you will please help them find their way out of the courthouse safely. Thank you all. We're in recess.